Welcome to the Heights Sermon Series Podcast, where each week you'll hear a new message that'll help you with your life shaped by the Word.
Well, I'm guessing at least once this week you're going to be in the shower or in the car, and you're going to start going, I am who I am because the I... And you'll wish the choir was backing you up. Boy, we like a song with a little punch, don't we? That was a lot of fun. Man, great to see everybody here on beautiful April morning. Almost feels like it should be Easter out there. You know, when it comes in March, I mean, we're still here. I'm thinking, gosh, it feels like it should be Easter. And we're here. We're 2 weeks after it already. And if you were here on Easter weekend, you remember I closed the message that day with the question, hey, now, as possessors of this good news, the good news that Jesus is alive, the good news that we can be saved from sin, death, and hell, we ask the question, what am I supposed to do with that? I mean, do we just go, that's cool, thanks, Jesus, and go on about our business? Or is there another more appropriate response? And that's what we're trying to answer this month. And last week, we said, Jesus is alive, so we go and tell. We go and share. We saw Jesus in post-resurrection appearances over and over and over saying those words. And today we're going to hear him say, I'm alive, go love. And we're going to see what that love is all about. Now, before we do that, before we get to what Jesus is saying, I want to say something to our church. You know, when the preacher gets up, I think his job is to encourage or to inform or maybe both. And then based on that encouragement or that information, then challenge. And if he does a good job, and there's a little question about that, but everybody knows how to take the next step. You know, whether it's a next step of faith or of obedience or devotion or forgiveness. I mean, we're all over the place in here in our own personal journey and following after Christ. But if I do my job, then I go to wherever you are and you've got an idea about what the next step looks like for you. Now, sometimes, you know, the preacher gets going and he's spitting and sweating and challenging, and it can almost sound like you're being scolded, right? Like, what's wrong with you? You need to be, and you should, and it can come across like you're just all sitting there on nothing. Now, get up and do something. Boy, I hope I never come across like that. Not in any message, but particularly today's message. You know, you make it hard to challenge you. I think what we're looking at today, what Jesus is challenging us as an individual and as a church to do, I think you do it so incredibly well. You do so much, you do so well, you're actually creating a great reputation for our church family here, the Heights. And I'm talking a lot about what we do in our Love 804 ministry. You know, we started, I think it was probably 17, 18 years ago, we started doing a thing called Krestos. Anybody remember the word Krestos? Okay, a few, but look how few hands went up, because that's a part of the story in a moment. So we started these things called Krestos events. Krestos is a Greek word. It means kindness. And in Romans 2:4, it says God's kindness will lead them to repentance. And so our idea was, let's let God use us. Let's be God's kindness in our community, and that be a platform by which people hear the gospel, come to know God, and they turn, they repent. They repent from going that direction, and they start going the direction of Christ. So we started Krestos, and that year, we had a big event. As a matter of fact, it was a lot like our event this past summer. This past summer, I think we went to 35 locations. 18 years ago, I think it was 25. And we sent hundreds of people out, and we went to schools and fire departments and police stations and other ministries, just like we did this past summer. And it was just an incredible day. Matter of fact, one of the things I remember the most about that day, I'm not saying it's should be the thing I remember the most. But all four local news stations ran a story on what we did that day. Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS. When do you see all the news stations carrying the same story when it's not a national disaster? And they were talking about our church and what we did that day. And it was so awesome. And we finished the day. You know, you kind of have that moment like, you know, I think we just did what Jesus wanted us to do. That was cool. And we left that. It was just such a good and purposeful day. So we thought, hey, we don't want this to be an event. We want it to be a way of life here at the Heights. So we challenged life groups. Hey, y'all need to come up with your own Christos event, something you'll do once a month, once every 2 months. And we'll continue pulling together one big event for the church. And so we started doing these various events. We've done a lot of things over the years. One year we went and we did all kinds of work throughout Pocahontas State Park. Some of y'all remember that. Cleaning, chopping, throwing, burning. I don't know what all we did. We did a lot. Do y'all remember when the bike race came through Richmond? You know, like the Tour de France, there's a world championship, and how Richmond got that, it's kind of surprising to me, but the world championship was here, and the city of Richmond was working with the SBCV, the SBC of Virginia, and they needed a lot of volunteers. As a matter of fact, they needed 800 volunteers. You know how many the Heights provided? 350. Almost half of the volunteers for that whole thing provided by our church. And then, you remember the gas buy down? You remember when we did that? That was the Shell station about a mile below us here. It seemed like that was one of the first times that gas was going over $4 and we were losing our minds. I mean, it goes over $4 now, but then $4 was more back then, right? And if I remember correctly, and I'm not saying I do, but if I remember correctly, I think the day we actually did it, gas was $3.99, and I think we bought it down $2. And so everybody that came in, gas was $1.99. Now, we did that for 3 hours, and I think it was a 20-gallon maximum so that we could serve the most people. And that was craziness. It was on the radio, go to the Heights, $1.99 gas. People were losing their mind. They were fighting, shooting. No, it wasn't all that. But the police were there. I mean, it was a mile of traffic that way, a mile of traffic that way. And I'm out there, we're pumping gas. We're doing a lot of stuff other than pumping gas, but we're pumping gas. And I'm looking at that traffic and I'm thinking, for every person we're blessing, there's two people that are cussing us right now that are stuck in this random traffic for an hour. And so we, all kinds of stuff like that. So you can see we're having a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of things. And so what happens is I get up and say, okay, we're doing a Christos event. Well, as people come and go, as our church is growing, there's more and more people in the room who don't know what the word. They think every time I'm talking about this, we're talking about toothpaste. I didn't say crest. I said Christos. And we realize we're using this word that nobody knows what we're saying. And so that's when we changed. And I think now we're talking about roughly 2017. So that's when we change it to Love 804. And we keep going along. We're doing these events on a small scale, on a big scale. And then 2020 happens. Now, you know, think about what a unique place in world history we live. There are very few things where you can say one word or one number, 2020, and literally everybody on planet Earth has the exact same thought. And it's not a good thought, is it? I mean, that was a bad time. I mean, we're talking about bad medical issues, bad political issues, bad social issues. I mean, you say 2020, and here we are 4 years later, and it can still feel kind of raw, which makes me then the only person on planet Earth. When I hear 2020, I think, boy, that was a great year for the Heights. I mean, our Love 804 went to just a whole nother level. You remember when masks weren't a thing and now they are a thing, but there's no thing to get? And so we're making masks. We're making hundreds of masks for fire and police. We're making masks for hospitals. And it, you know, then it became another event and another. And but when I say we went to another level, I'm not talking about what we did or how much we did. It was in 2020 that people in our community started calling us. They knew you want help, you need people, call the Heights. And I was like, hey, I think that's what like the whole goal was, right? Be a church our community cannot imagine being without. And it's just gone on from there to get broader and wider. We're in, I mean, every week, do you realize the Heights Baptist, every single week we're feeding people. Every single week we're in the prisons. There's other things, not necessarily weekly, but certainly monthly, we're in schools. And many of these places, they've called us and said, can you help? And so I say all that to say, when I say, man, y'all are awesome, I'm not just saying that because I need to say something nice this morning. I mean, we're going to hear a challenge from Christ. We're going to hear a call from Christ. And you do it so well. I mean, yeah, there's some of us in here, maybe we need to be challenged on how we can take another step. But I think for a lot of us, what I hope today is when you hear Christ speak, you're affirmed in who you are and what you're already doing. You're affirmed. Because, hey, some of you are given a lot of time. You're giving a lot of effort to make this happen. And hope today is the day where you go, oh, yeah, that's why I'm doing that, as you hear the words of Jesus. Now, let's look at the words of Jesus. Now, we're not just looking for a verse that says, do good works. We're not just looking for a verse that says, be a good person. There's a lot of verses. We're looking for something very specific. We're looking for post-resurrection, because that's where we are right now, right? We got together two weekends ago. We celebrated that Jesus is alive. Now what? Now what are we supposed to do with that news? Well, I'm trying to create this moment where we go back just like those original believers. We're a week after. We're 2 weeks after. Jesus appears. What is he saying to us? And last week, over and over and over, we heard him saying, go tell, go share. Today, we're going to hear him say, go love. And it's pretty clear that love is a real action-oriented love. Let's look at that. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we're looking at a real short passage, verses 15 to 17. John 21. Now, just so you kind of know where we're coming up on, this is not the first appearance of Jesus. It's not the last appearance of Jesus. One of these in between. And the disciples have gone out fishing. Remember, a third of them were commercial fishermen. It's what, you know, when things aren't, you're trying to figure life out, you just kind of go back to what you know. You go back to normal. And so they go out fishing. They go out all night long and they catch nothing, which happens more than once in the gospel story. It makes you wonder, how did they make a living? But they caught nothing. So they're on the way back in and they're coming up to the shore, and they fished all night. It's still dark. And there's a guy, they can't tell who he is, but he says, hey, did y'all catch anything? And they said, no, leave us alone. And no, they didn't say that. You know, I think that's probably pretty normal. I mean, don't we do that today? I mean, some of us may be around beach towns, the steels. I know y'all do that when the shrimpers come in, right? And you go out there and say, I want to get fresh shrimp right off. And I know because I've gotten some of that shrimp before. But we go, you know, the shippers come in, the fish come in. Hey, did y'all get anything? What do you got? There's no, we got nothing. And so the guy on the beach says, throw your net in on the right side. They throw their net in on the right side. The net's full. Looks like John is the sharp knife in the drawer this time. And he leans over to Peter and says, you know, we've done this before. I'm pretty sure the guy on the beach is Jesus. At which point, Peter, super impulsive Peter, dives in and swims to shore and gets there a solid 45 seconds ahead of the boat. You know, why did he jump? Because he's impulsive. That's Peter. And so they get there, they pull some fish out, they have breakfast. We don't know what they talked about during breakfast, but we sure know what they talked about after breakfast. John 21, verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Now, that's interesting. That's how Peter was introduced to Jesus. This is Simon, son of John. You might remember Jesus renames him and calls him Peter. But now here he is, he's saying, Simon, son of John. I don't know if like this is when your mom calls your whole name and you know nothing good is happening next, okay? But Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Okay, that's really interesting because you really will not see anywhere in the New Testament where you and I are challenged to compare our walk with Christ with somebody else's walk. That's not how we follow Christ. We follow Christ by looking at Christ. We measure ourselves against Jesus. But here's kind of this weird thing where he says, hey, Peter, do you love me than other people here in the room? I mean, think about the awkwardness of answering that question, okay? So now let me go ahead and read without stopping. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Now, you know, I just said I wasn't going to stop, didn't I? Don't listen. You know, I told y'all, by the way, not to come to the 9:15 service on Easter Sunday. You know, I didn't mean that. You got to take me with a grain of salt half the time, okay? I mean, like, 9:15 was the smallest service we've ever had on an Easter Sunday. It was like, you know, when Jesus said, two or three, I'm there. We didn't have two or three here. Couldn't even celebrate. We just went right. Anyway, so where am I? Yes, Lord, Peter. So there's a lot of interpretation. We think of interpretation, you think of reading words. But like when Peter answers, did he say confidently, yes, Lord? Or did he stutter a little bit? Was he a little, yeah, Lord. I think he was probably a little reticent. And I'll explain why in a moment. Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. If you're saying you love, then here's what you do. Feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. And the third time stung a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm guessing Peter's thinking, okay, clearly he doesn't believe my answer. So listen to this. He said, Lord, you know everything. Lord, you know what I've done. You know, I know I've got actions in my life that don't really communicate that I love you. But you know what's going on in me. You know I want with all my heart to say that I love you. You, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So short passage, three verses, not very long, quick dialogue there between Jesus and Peter. But there is so much going on right there. You know, you see the word love a lot, seven times to be exact. If you look down there, seven times you see the word love. Now, in the English language, we have just one word for love, and it's the word love. It's not a trick question. Yeah, just one word for love, it's love. And we have to use that one word in all kinds of things, from the people we love to the most, to pizza, to our sports teams. I mean, there's no differentiation. One word, love. In the Greek language, they have three words for love, and they're distinctive, okay? They have specific ideas and meanings behind them. Well, two of those three words are used right here. So you don't see that in the English, do you? You don't realize that Jesus said, do you agape me? Do you have an unconditional, devoted love for me? And Peter answered and said, yes, I phileo you. Well, that's a different word. Jesus said, do you agape? He answered with phileo. That word means brotherly love. It's not a less love. It's not a bad love. It's not like these are necessarily a hierarchy, but you do have Jesus asking, do you agape? And he answers, I phileo. Second question, Jesus says, do you agape? Peter says, I phileo. Third question, Jesus says, do you phileo? And he says, yeah, I phileo. You can see you got all this back and forth. And hey, what are we to understand something about this use of the word love and its changes? We could look at the three times. Jesus asked three times. Why did he do that? Was that to mirror the three times that Peter denied him? You know, for you and I reading this story, Peter denying him was 2,000 years ago. But as Peter and Jesus are having this conversation, it wasn't 2,000 years ago. It was days. It was weeks ago that he denied even knowing him. So was that three questions to mirror that? And is that where Peter started to hurt? Like, oh, I see where you're going with this. Or how about the question, do you love me more than these? You know, again, why would Jesus ask a comparative question like that? You know, again, Peter, you remember the night in the upper room, the night before Jesus was crucified, and Jesus had told him, hey, you know, you're going to all abandon me before this night's over. And Peter jumps up and says, I don't know about these other yahoos in the room. You can count on me. I love you. I'll go with you the whole distance. I wonder if this question is like, are you still going with that story? Guys, you think, man, Jesus is kind of stick it to you, right? You know, I do believe right here that Jesus is trying to humble Peter. And, you know, we hear that almost sounds negative. Like if somebody said, I humbled you or I got humbled, what do we hear? We hear you got put in your place or I got put in my place. I don't believe Jesus is trying to put Peter in his place. First of all, he wouldn't need to try. If Jesus wants to put you in your place, consider yourself place putting. Okay? It won't be work for Jesus to put you in your place. Think of it like this. Because I promise you, we all need to hear this. Right. Jesus is trying to humble you. What does that mean? You know, I think of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there shall be the kingdom of God. You know what poor in spirit is? It's when you come to the end of yourself. Because until I come to the end of myself, I will keep trusting in myself. That doesn't mean I don't come in here and sing songs about how much I love Jesus. It doesn't mean I don't read my Bible and try to understand it and obey it. It doesn't mean I don't want to be a good follower of Christ. What it does mean is my default mode is me. I trust me, my brains, my strength, my goodness, my spirituality. And Jesus says, you know, blessed are you when you finally get to the end of yourself, because only then will you and I fully grab a hold of Jesus like he's all we've got. And that's when we've got the kingdom of God and the power that comes with the kingdom of God. What do we grab a hold of ourselves? And we get our own kingdom, which is very weak and very temporary. So yes, I can promise you right now, you say, what's God doing in my life? Well, God's the original multitasker. He's doing a lot of things in your life. But I can assure you, one of the things God's doing in your life right now is to humble you, to bring you to the end of yourself. So again, you see all of the things that are going on here in this short little dialogue, this short conversation. And we're not going to talk, by the way, about any of those things this morning. I'm just letting you know what all is there. No, we're going to kind of hang our hat today on just one simple idea. Do you love me? And what the answer to that question is. Jesus says, do you love me? Then here's what it's going to look like. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to see people. You're going to see their need. You're going to feel compassion. Notice none of this has to do with about my feelings about that person or those people or that place. It's not about Jesus. I just want you to go out in the world and just have a warm fuzzy for everybody on the planet. No, I want you to go out and I want you to see people. I want you to see the need in their lives. I want you to feel compassion for that. And I want you to move to meet that need. You know, I pointed out how he refers to Simon's official name, his whole name, Simon, son of John. You know, the first time Jesus and Peter met, Jesus said, come follow me. And you remember what he said? I will make you a fisher of men. Mark 1:17. First time they meet, come follow me and I'll make you a fisherman. Come follow me and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go catch people. And now here we are at the end of the gospel story, and he says, Simon, son of John. I mean, maybe that was just to not say you're in trouble, but hey, do you remember the first time we met? You remember when I said we're going to go get people? Well, this is what loving me means. You go get people. And we're not going to, what's Jesus doing? He's putting some definition on what it means to catch people. We're not going to capture people. We're not going to defeat people, conquer people. We're not going to make them do something. No, we're going to go love them. We're going to go serve their needs. And there would certainly be an idea of physical, okay? Because sometimes meeting physical needs is what gives an entree, a door into their lives where we serve the greater need, the spiritual needs. Now, you know, as this is unfolding before us, it's real easy, I think, with this story, just kind of sit back like we're, you know, sitting in the stands and we're, why? I mean, this is a very personal moment, not between me and Jesus. This is a personal moment between Jesus and Peter. And so I can just sit there and kind of watch and think, oh, Jesus got him there. And, look at Peter. And we can just watch like we're just observers and nothing more. I think you and I need to take this story very personal. We need to put ourselves in the place of Simon, son of John, because we're no different than Peter right here. Hey, just like Peter, you and I have looked up to heaven and said, Jesus, save me. Just like Peter, we're now possessors, owners of this good news that Jesus is alive. This good news that we can be saved from sin and death and hell. Hey, just like Peter, Jesus is going to look at you and me and say, do you love me? And just like Peter, we want to answer right, don't we? I can't help but believe a lot of us in this room, we want to say, yes, yes, Lord, I love you. Then we need to hear Jesus saying to us, then you need to be about people. Your life going forward is about being about people. Now, it's okay. We'll go ahead and say why. Why, Lord? Why do I have to be? Who's going to be all about me if I'm all about people? You know, last week, I think somewhere in the course of the message, I asked the question, how is it that we get over hell? How is it that we get over the fact we've been saved from hell, and that just becomes such ho-hum news in our, oh yeah, I've saved. I mean, should we not be incredibly overwhelmed by that every day we wake up? Yes. I'm not going to hell when I die. I'm going to live with God forever. And I think being so overwhelmed by that, that would be our motivation to say, hey, Jesus, I really want to say I love you. And I need help knowing what that looks like. I need help knowing what it means to love you. And that's where Jesus says, well, I'm glad you want to love me. You need to be in the people business. And it's not just about going out and be a good person and do good deeds. I think you and I should work real hard as an individual to be a good person and to do good deeds. People should think you're the nicest person in the planet. That should be our goal. But I think what Jesus is calling us to is more than just people seeing what a nice person I am. Here's what I mean. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. You're the one out there doing it. They see what you're doing, but look what they end up doing. What do? They praise God. They give thanks to God. And I've been thinking this week. I've known that verse for a long time. I've loved that verse for a long time. It's been one of my memory verses for a long time. But this week, I think, was the first time I really tried to work the math on this. Okay, if I'm the one out there doing something good, How is it that God gets praised and glorified? And I, you know, this is what came to my mind. I mean, we're talking about Love 804 and everything. This summer, when we did Love 804, I was a part of a group that went to Davis Middle School. Now, I could have gone to Davis Middle School all by myself. I don't need a church to be a good person, right? You ever heard somebody say that? I don't need a church. I love God, and I don't need a church to love God. I can be a good person without a church. So I love God. I'm a good person. I go into Davis Middle School, and I say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. Any way I can help you? And after they fingerprinted me and ran a background check and checked with the FBI, because that's the world we live in, then they would say, yeah, you can come help. And they, you know, I don't know, have me running stuff off or cleaning or throwing stuff out, and I could do that. And when I got all done, you know, at some point, I bet the principal or assistant principal said, hey, thank you, Randy, for coming and doing this. Boy, we need more people like you. Now, I think I should do that, and I think you should do that. But who got thanked? I got thanked. But I went and worked this summer, and I get a single thank you note. Not one person said, boy, that Randy Hahn, salt of the earth. Most wonderful person I've ever met. I tell myself that all the time. Not one. You know why? What they didn't see an individual. They didn't see a name. What they did see was a church. And what's the church? The people of God. The body of Christ. Now, folks, I'm not saying that every time a church does something good, people just automatically start looking to heaven and praising God. But hopefully at some point, there's a connection. Why is it, and I think this was God's idea, why is it that the people of God are the ones out solving needs all the time? Why is it the body of Christ always out there fixing things, making things better, helping people, and that's what ends up not looking at an individual, but praising God? So you see, when we work together, okay, the individual gets lost and God gets seen. You know, I wrote that line, and I thought, you know, that phrase there in the middle, the individual gets lost, that usually means something negative, doesn't it? We've done something to the individual. Jesus loves the individual. This means something positive here, right? The individual gets lost, and God gets seen. Listen, if at the end of the day, I walk away, and they do say, boy, that Randy Hahn, salt of the earth. If they have a good thought about me, what do they have? Not very much. And certainly not what they need. But if I walk away and they say, why? God, God's people. You see what happens? Yeah, nothing's gained by me being seen. A whole lot is gained by God being seen, which is why on some level, if I want to tell Jesus I love him and I'm going to do that by serving and caring for people, on some level, I've got to do that in a way that I get lost and only Jesus gets seen. It's got to be what the church is doing, what we're doing as the work of the gospel, what we're doing as a work of God, as a work of good. It's got to be what we do as a whole. So Jesus says, hey, I'm alive. I want you to go out and love. I want you to serve. I want you to see people, feel compassion for their need, and meet that need. Do you know when you and I are doing that, we're being just like Jesus. And when Jesus sees you and I trying to be just like him, guess what he feels? Loved. That's the question on the table. How do I love Jesus? How do I show him love? And he's answering that here for us. Go love. Now, what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks, remember I kind of outlined this last week. Last week and today, these are messages I could preach to any church, to any group of people, any group of believers, anywhere. But what we're going to do next Sunday and the Sunday after that is not for believers in churches anywhere. It's for the Heights Baptist Church. We're going to look very specifically how we take this call to go and tell, how we take this call to go and love, and what we built here at the Heights, how we will do this together here at the Heights. Okay? So next week will be very specific to us. Now, that doesn't mean that till you hear all this for the next 2 weeks, you don't have to do anything good. No, you need to go home and do good. All right? This is where I challenge you. Here's what I was thinking. You know, we use the phrase random acts of kindness. I don't believe in random acts of kindness because I don't believe Jesus was ever random. I think he was always very purposeful. And I want to be purposeful because I want to be like Jesus. So you've got, let's say, three places in your life. You've got your home, you've got work and school, and you've got your church. Now, when I say work and school, I say that because that's the place most of us are spending a bulk of our hours during the day, right? And when I say school, it's to involve all of our young people. You know, I was a young person one time. It's just like 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I know what it is to come to church. And as a young person, a lot of times you can feel like, well, I go to church because I love God and that's what I want to do. But honestly, whatever that guy's yapping about up there is for the big people, right? It's for adults. And so, young folks, let's be clear about this. Jesus looks the 12-year-old right in the eye and says, do you love me? He doesn't wait till you're 18. He doesn't wait till you've graduated. He doesn't wait till you have a job. He doesn't wait till you're married. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, he's going to look at you and say, do you love me? And you should want to know, hey, is there any clues on how to answer that? Is there any clues on if I say yes, what that really means? And so anyway, back to work and school. I say work and school because that wraps up where a lot of us are during the day. So I want you to ask, let's start praying tonight when we go to bed, tomorrow when we wake up. Jesus, would you show me a person at home? Now, I'm an empty nester, so I don't have to guess where Jesus is going to point me. It's going to be Karen. But pray, God, show me a person in my home. Show me a person at work or school. Show me a person at my church. And help me see what you see. I don't want to just pick somebody and do something good. I want to see what you see, feel compassion for what you see, and then move to meet that need as you would. So I'm asking Jesus, guide me, help me see three acts of love that you want me to take. And you got 2 weeks to do that, right? Just three times. That's all you've got to do. Love three times in the next 2 weeks. Well, maybe a few more, but to satisfy me, because I know that's the big goal. Three times in the next 2 weeks, okay? Somebody at home, somebody at work or school, somebody in your church. Not random. You've asked God to open your eyes to see what he sees and pick that person. And we start working and practicing on this. You know, the mission of our church, building relationships that connect all people to God-sized life and love. Do you know when you hear that, don't we automatically think people outside? We got to go out there and build relationships with people to connect them. No, folks, the relationships start in here. You know, some of you, the best friends you have in this church aren't people that enjoy the same pizza you do and the same team you do. They're people you've been on a mission trip with. There are people that you're feeding with each week. That there are people that you're going into the prisons with each week. Do you know when we're doing the work of God together, we really get connected to one another. We build some strong relationships. And you know what that does? That enables us to stay connected to a God-sized life and a God-sized love. You know, when you find people and they're not really connected to anyone or anything in church, that's a person that's not going to stick. They never do. They may give testimony, oh man, I love that church. I feel the Spirit of God when I go in there. Oh, I love that. But for whatever reason, they maybe don't connect with anyone. And guess what? They'll be gone. Gone to another church, or in many cases, just gone. Just they miss one Sunday, then two Sundays, and then they're no longer in church. You know who's not just fading away? People who are connected to one another. Connected doing what? The work of God. And then we go out there and see who we can connect through loving to a God-sized life and love. That's our mission. Will you come back next 2 weeks and find out how together we all work at fulfilling our mission before the Lord? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you today and I pray for myself. I pray for all of us. God, I want to see what you see when you look at people. I want to see the people that I'm crossing paths with throughout the day, throughout the week. God, slow me down. Let me see. Let me hear. Would you just speak to every one of us? I want you to love them. I want you to love them. I want you to love them. And I pray we would work on not random accidental kindness, but very on purpose kindness that you've directed us to. Gosh, Lord, we have a chance to go out here today and love 6,000 people from what's gathered in this room today. Oh, I pray you'll bless that and multiply it many times over. Lord, I pray it's very clear we're on mission here at the Heights. We're on mission to say that we love you. And we know that to say we love you, we're going to be about people. We're going to be about people. Lord, I just pray you'd impress that on all of our hearts. I've got to be about people, and I've got to be about people together with the people I worship with. So that I'm lost, and you alone are seen. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.